Okay, it's great to welcome Ruth this morning. Ruth has a teaching which I've been longing to hear, and it's going to be so life-changing. It's going to so set you free, and it's going to move mountains in your life. Let's welcome Ruth.
I'm going to say some things, and if you agree with it, just say yes. And I'm not going to trick you. It's fairly straightforward. And I can tell you beforehand all the things. The answer is yes. To each man, he is given a measure of faith.
Yes.
All things are possible for him who believes.
Yes.
Yes. The Israelites didn't enter the promised land because of their unbelief.
Yes.
Yes. To each one of us, he's given a measure of faith.
Yes.
So all things are possible for him who believes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Good. Right, that's it. They end of the meeting. Right then. Let's just turn to a verse that talks about that in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 20. Now, this is a situation where disciples, a man's brought his son to the disciples to heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit. He wants the boy to be healed. The disciples aren't able to deliver the boy. And so, verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus. Oh, hang on. Verse 17. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's quite an awesome promise, isn't it? That Jesus himself says to us, if you believe, then you can say to this mountain, move, it will move. And then he goes on with this amazing promise, nothing will be impossible for you. If you believe, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
If nothing is impossible, that means everything is possible. So for those who believe, everything is possible.
Amen.
So we can kind of bring to mind promises that God's given us, either promises in the scriptures or promises that God's given you personally. It might be to do with your own life. It might be to do with someone else's life who you know. It might be to do with London and London for Jesus and revival. But God's given us promises, different types of promises. And the Bible here says nothing's impossible for him who believes. And sometimes there are promises in our lives that we are not seeing the fulfillment of. But God says nothing's impossible. It's possible. And if God's given us a promise, if it's his word, then it's possible. Let's just, we're going to flip back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. There's a passage in Proverbs 3, at the beginning, I know quite well, and often I'm kind of repeating to myself from verse 5 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And often there's trust in the Lord. Yeah, I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. Yep, I'm to do that. Okay, I trust in the Lord. Lord, help me trust in you and not lean on my own understanding. But this time when I was reading this verse, it was the second part that really jumped out at me. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I suddenly saw, straight paths. I like the idea of straight paths. That's kind of pleasing to my soul. You know, I like the idea of in my workplace having a straight path. Not a lot of confusion, not a lot of relationship difficulties, not a lot of upheaval, but I like the idea of going to work, doing a good day's work, and not having many things kind of steering me off track. I like the idea of my finances, there being a straight path in my finances. I like the idea of not being in a position where I'm kind of feeling the pinch. I like the idea of having a straight path, straightforward, provision when I need it. I like the idea that in my relationships, there's a straight path for me. I don't like the idea of having relationships that are out of sorts. I don't like the idea of having relationships where there's tension and issues. I like the idea of having a straight path in my relationships. So I kind of read this and I thought, I like that. I want that promise. And this is a little aside. It's not what we're talking about, but a little aside is anything that's in here, you can have it if you want it. Anything. And I want this. So this is now my promise. It's like God said this to me because I've said, right, that's in your word, God. You've said it. You've said it to me. I'm taking it. I make it mine. So it doesn't just say the Lord will make your path straight. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So I'm on a bit of a quest at the moment to find out what that means because I want straight paths. And it's a bit of a conditional promise. Some promises are straightforward, but some have got a condition attached. And this has got a slight condition. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll make your path straight. I want straight paths, so therefore, I'm going to learn what it means to acknowledge God in all my ways. Okay, but that's an aside. So we're looking at this straight path. Can I have my first picture, please? Hey! My great artistic skill. Here we are. So this is me on my straight path. I like that idea. You might look at that and say, oh, that looks a bit boring. But for spiritual purposes, it's a straight path. And when God, incidentally, when God was talking to me about straight paths, he did say, along the way, there'll be some interesting turning points. You can have a little, you know, you can come off to the side and discover some amazing truths and then back on your straight path. So I've got a straight path in front of me, and that's what I'm clinging on to, that's what I'm believing God for, and that's what I'm pulling down into my life. Okay. We're going to go back to Matthew again, where we were just now. Matthew 17, again. Matthew 17, verse 20. So again, the disciples have said, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Sometimes on our straight paths, we can have things that come against us. So sometimes there can be big potholes in the road. There can be a need in our life, and there's a big gap. Sometimes there can be the enemy along the side of the road who's firing darts at us. And in the end of Ephesians, we're told about the armor of God and how the flaming arrows of the evil. We hold up the shield of faith against the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we know there's times when the enemy throws arrows at us. There's also times where there are mountains in our path. Now, I know God's spoken to me about a straight path, but I've started to identify some mountains. And so we're going to talk about mountains today, but we're going to talk about a particular mountain. Now, there's four accounts in the Gospels where Jesus is talking about this situation. We'll read the next one in Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 18, we'll read from. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And we can see a similarity with these two verses. Both of them is a faith issue. The first one was the disciples couldn't cast out the demon because of their unbelief, so they didn't have faith. So that's where Jesus is bringing in this story, and again, there's a faith response. Jesus commanded the tree to wither, it withered. The disciples were surprised because they didn't really believe, and Jesus' response to them is, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can not only do what's been done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, I'm starting to see that perhaps this mountain that it's talking about is a mountain of unbelief. Because if Jesus is addressing the issue of faith each time, and he says, each time in these verses, it says, if you say to this mountain. And again, I'm on a bit of a quest. What does this mountain mean? Which mountain? It's not just any old mountain, it's this mountain. And each scenario, it's talking, before he says this mountain, it's a faith issue he's talking about. So I'm kind of, at the moment, I'm kind of thinking that perhaps this mountain is a faith kind of, you know, it's an unbelief mountain, a mountain of unbelief. And what does he say? He says, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Okay, let's go to the next one. Mark 11. There's only four, so you're all right. But isn't it good? There's four accounts of this story in the Gospels. So there's something there for us to learn. There's something God wants to tell us. Okay, Mark 11. Where are we? Verse 20. Now, again, this is a similar, probably the same account that the disciples are, that the writer is writing about. Jesus has just come into Jerusalem, and everyone's been praising and exalting him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna. He comes into Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He's cross because the temple's being used for exchanging money. He clears everyone out of the temple. And it's from that position that he's then walking along the road. Actually, it's just before he's cleared the temple. But he's come into Jerusalem. There's great praising. Hosanna to the King of David. He comes across a tree. It's produced no fruit. He's hungry. He curses the tree. And then we get to verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God. Again, it's a faith issue. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. Let's go to the next one. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 6. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Again, previous to that is a faith response. Jesus is teaching the disciples to forgive, and he says, even if someone sins against you seven times, you must go back, you must forgive, so you must keep forgiving. And to that, the disciples' response is, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So Jesus is saying to them, you must forgive, you must forgive. And they're like, increase our faith. So they must be struggling within themselves about this concept of continually forgiving. It must have been something that was a little bit beyond their normal lifestyle. The expectation Christ has of us as believers is the standard of Christ. And it isn't short of that. And the disciples are starting to pick up that God's standard for them is Christ, is perfection, is forgiving, continually forgiving. And so their response is, increase our faith, increase my faith. I need faith in order to do that. I need faith in order to live up to what God's requiring of me. Jesus' response, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, isn't that great? Just little faith. But pure faith, you know, pure faith. If you have little faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Okay. So, I want to talk a little bit about this mountain of unbelief that I think these passages are talking about. Because each one, it's an issue of faith that Jesus is addressing. Think about mountains for a minute. Actually, can we have picture three? There's a mountain, and there's me. mountains are fairly stationary, yes, and fairly immovable, normally quite large. I was climbing up Mount Snowdon once, and it was springtime, and the weather wasn't terribly great, and I was about a mile from the top, maybe, and the going was starting to get a bit rough, and there was mist, and I could hardly see a thing. I was actually quite scared, because there were hardly any other people on the path, because it was a really dismal day at Easter time. So I was climbing up these rocks, and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see down, and I couldn't see up. So I could have, if I hadn't have known I was on a mountain, I wouldn't have known I was on a mountain, because I couldn't see. I couldn't see the view, I couldn't see my path behind me, and I couldn't see the peak ahead. So, sometimes we can be even on a mountain or at the foot of a mountain, picture two please, and we don't really know that there's any, that we don't really know what the problem is. This is my blind man, and he's on his path, and he's come to a mountain, but he's blind, and he's not very bright. Not that blind people aren't bright. But this is perhaps this is not a blind man. He's a man with glasses on when it's quite dark. He can't see. So he gets up to this, he's kind of walking along, and he's like, oh, and he bumps into a mountain. It's like, what on earth's that? Okay, what do I do with this? Can I climb it? I'm not sure. Can I go around it? There can be confusion with that. We don't really know what's going on. And what I'm wanting in my life is I want to see a mountain. Back to picture two, please. I want to see a mountain ahead of me. I want to see when it's coming. I've started to identify in my life that sometimes I'm starting to identify unbelief. You know how sometimes you can be, perhaps you're praying with someone, and I have this. Some people pray this for me sometimes. Oh, I pray for Ruth, I pray you bring her husband. And people pray that. Sometimes I'm in real faith. Yes, amen. Sometimes I'm right. You know? My initial, someone prays it and I'm kind of, amen. Yeah, heard that before. Yeah, right. There's a whiff of unbelief in my attitude in that. Yeah? Sometimes perhaps Les is at the front and he's talking about London and Jesus of the London revival, and we're like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. But in my life outside of Sunday church, I perhaps don't pray for London at all. London's perhaps not on my heart. It's not actively something I'm praying for. There's a whiff of unbelief in my response. Sometimes, hang on a minute. Sometimes, we can be praying or we can be reading a scripture and we might be in a struggling time and the scripture says, God will provide all your needs according to his glorious riches. And we can say, yes, amen, I agree. And then I walk out of the prayer time and I don't think about it again. I don't pray about it. I'm just in a place where, oh, I haven't got a job or I haven't got money. And I kind of feel the lack. And I'm focusing on the feeling of having lack rather than, no, the word says. If I really believed and had faith, then I'd be going home with that word and I'd be going, yes, I see lack in my life, but no, the Lord says there is no lack. The Lord says he provides all my needs and I kind of cling to. So there's our response to the word, our response to what Jesus says, or our response to prayer can often indicate if they're, our level of faith. And on the surface, I've got great faith. I can believe whatever this says, and I can believe what anyone prays, what anyone says. But actually, my lifestyle doesn't always back that up. And so that's me starting to picture three. That's me starting to see a mountain ahead. So I'm not up to the mountain here, but I'm praying. I'm like, there's a whiff of unbelief in the air. So I'm not fully believing. Now, another thing I want to talk about mountains is that if we're born again, we're a new creation, yes? The old has gone, yes? The new has come. We're now in Christ. Where are we seated? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's now my position. I'm now in this place where I'm in Christ Jesus. All his promises are mine. Hang on a minute, I've just lost my train of thought. seat in heavenly places. All God's promises are mine. Ah, it's gone. Oh, dear, isn't that frustrating? Anticipating mountain. Well done, you're listening, I'm impressed. I have to lose my place more often. Okay, oh yes, that's it, got it. Mountains. If I'm a new creation and I'm in Christ, then unbelief is not part of my DNA anymore. Okay? Before I was a Christian, unbelief was part of my makeup because I was under Adam. Now I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit of God. The old has gone. The new has come. I'm now a woman of faith. Unbelief has gone. Faith has come. So if there's unbelief in my life, it's actually not mine. It's not my DNA. It doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. It's not in me. It's a mountain outside of me. So I don't need to agree with it. I don't need to take it into myself. I don't need to own it. Because it's not mine. It's nothing to do with me. It's like the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's nothing. You know, sometimes you get these thoughts that are accusing people in your head. That's not you. That's not coming from you because you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's not part of you. When you've got these thoughts, these accusing thoughts against people, they're not part of you. It's not your thoughts. Honestly, it's not. It's arrows, flaming arrows from the evil one. Honestly, we've got to be absolutely set on that. It's not part of you, because if you think those thoughts are part of you, then how on earth do you get rid of them? What can you do about it? If those thoughts are you, how can you get rid of it? No, they're not you. You're a new creation. The old has so gone. The new has so come. Come on. So the new has come. Those thoughts are not of you. So you hold up your shield of faith and you have none of it. No. I mean, I preach this so often because I live with it. If I get a thought against someone, no, I'm going to bless that person instead. And you know, the devil soon backs off when you keep blessing people. You know, if I get a thought against you know, like Les, it's no, you know, we're a leadership team. Les is the leader of the church. If you get thoughts against Les, that's so the enemy, and that's so common because the enemy wants to pull down the leader. He wants to pull Les down. No, don't have any of it. What do? I bless him. It's fantastic. I love it. It's like, ha-ha. And he stops, you know. But why is that? Because I was absolutely determined I'm not having that. And there's a verse in, I've gone off track, this is really important. There's that verse in Numbers, I think is it number 6 or 4, which is the priestly blessing. God gives the priestly blessing to Aaron to bless the people. And learn it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, there was a time when I was getting these accusing... I was walking along the street. I'm walking to work, minding my own business, and suddenly there's this thought in my head against Les. Honestly, out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? Les, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Les, the Lord bless you and keep you. Honestly, every time. I was diligent with that one, I tell you. Diligent. Don't give it any space, really. And you keep blessing. And it could have been, I don't know, 9 months, a year, a long time, and it doesn't happen hardly at all now. God gives us tools, you know, and if he gives you a tool, you really take it and you learn how to use it. Because then what happens is, how I imagine it is, I've got, you know, like in the olden days, with people with bows and arrows, they had this big thing in their back and they'd pull out an arrow and shoot it. You see it in Robin Hood and things like that, you know. And God teaches us to use different weapons. And God taught me this weapon of blessing people. When you've got a thought to accuse, you bless them instead. You speak with your mouth a blessing. You don't just think it, you speak it. God taught me that weapon. And now it's very safely in my backpack. And it doesn't happen very often, but when I get accusing thought against Les, it's there and ready. I'm trained in its use. Now, today God's giving us a tool. I'm going to move on because I was supposed to be quick today. Today God's giving us a tool. Now, you take it to heart and you overuse it. Because as you overuse it, you're training yourself with the tool God's given you. And then it sits in your backpack. And then you don't need to use it all the time, but it's ready for when the occasion comes, you can pull it out and use it. Okay, so back to mountains. Ha ha. Okay, so there's a mountain in my way. It's not part of me. It's a mountain in my path. My path is straight. It's not part of me. So how do I move this mountain of unbelief? When I notice unbelief, I speak to it. What do I say to it? Move yourself. Okay, let's just look at what we say to these mountains. I like it. Okay, Luke 17. You can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So I can say, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, unbelief, and it will obey me. Let's go back to Matthew 17. You can say to this mountain, what does it say? 17 verse 20. What's it say? No, Matthew 17 verse 20. You can say to this mountain,
come on, what's it say?
Yeah, move from here to there. Say it again. What can you say to the mountain? Yes, mountain of unbelief, move. Look, I'm pointing. Move from here to there. Amen. Okay, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse... This is the one I like. The end of verse 21. What does it say? Go throw yourself into the sea. Okay, we're all going to say together, go throw yourself into the sea. One, two, three. Go throw yourself into the sea. Okay. Now... So I'm praying, okay, and I'm praying, let's say I'm praying for Washington, because he needs healing, he needs to see healing in his life. So, Lord, I pray for Washington, Father, pray for healing for his life. Go throw yourself in the sea. I pray, Jesus, for healing. Okay, that's okay, but I'm praying to God. I'm praying, God, heal Washington, go throw yourself in the sea. I'm actually telling Jesus to throw himself in the sea. Okay, it sounds silly, but you know, I'm a pictorial person, and when I pray, I add pictures to my prayer, and I'm often on my feet, and I'm moving, and I'm doing different things with my body, which kind of helps me to understand and helps my faith. So I might be praying, right, I'm praying for Washington. Lord, I pray for healing for him. And you know, I believe God's a healer, but I know in my life there's unbelief as well. I know that, you know, I'm not in that place of complete faith, you know, that God will use me to heal people. I want to be, and we need to be, but I'm not fully in that place. So I pray for healing for this man.
Go throw yourself in the sea.
Jesus, thank you for your healing. Oh, go throw yourself in the sea. You know, I'm kind of doing this in my prayer life, and I'm talking to my mountain of unbelief to throw itself in the sea. I'm not talking to anyone else's mountain. I'm talking to my mountain. Not my mountain, because it's not mine. It's in my path. It's the unbelief in me I'm talking to, not the unbelief in anyone else. And I'm not going on and on at it. That's all I say to it. Go throw yourself in the sea. It's like, I quite like it because it's like I'm swearing. It's like, oh, go throw yourself in the sea. You know, there's a real kind of, I'm not having that. Unbelief, go throw yourself in the sea. And I'm praying. And as I'm doing that, there's faith. You know, sometimes I'm praying for my husband, and, you know, I'm kind of praying. It's like, yeah, okay. Oh, unbelief. Oh, go throw yourself in the sea. Thank you, Jesus, that you've got the perfect plan for me. Thank you, Jesus, your timing's perfect. Oh, go throw yourself in the sea, you know? So notice, part of it is noticing and being real, but notice in your life that which is of unbelief, and don't be fazed by it. It's a mountain in your path. It's not something in you. It's a mountain in your path. But what do we do about mountains? We say, speak to it. Just six words. Go throw yourself in the sea. So, okay, we're going to flip, nearly finished, but we'll flip through these again just to see again what Jesus says about doing that. So, Matthew 17 again. Matthew 17, verse halfway through verse 20. So you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. That's five words, that's even less. Move from here to there. But I quite like, go throw yourself in the sea. It just sounds a bit more kind of, it's more satisfying. Go throw yourself. Move from here to there. And it will move. It will move. I'm starting to believe that when I speak to unbelief in my life, it has to move. Because I'm reading these passages a lot. So faith's starting to rise in me. And we can talk about mountains of other things, mountains of need, blah, 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 blah. But I'm actually talking about the mountain of unbelief. And I think that as we deal with the mountain of unbelief, and as I move, as I speak to that mountain, it moves itself into the sea. And then I can walk in the promise, and I can walk on my straight path. And then I receive the promises. And then everything you ask, I will give you. And then all things are possible. You know, that comes after we've got rid of these mountains. Why was it that the Israelites couldn't enter the promised land? Because of the unbelief. Why is it that we've got promises in our lives, over our lives, for ourselves or for other people, that we're not seeing a breakthrough? Must be. There must be a relation. If the Israelites couldn't enter the promised land because of unbelief, surely that translates that I don't enter my promised land. I don't enter my promises because of unbelief. Now, I'm not accusing people. I'm not saying, oh, you've not got faith and da da da. But I haven't got faith, otherwise I'd be seeing these things. Why is it that I work in a hospital? Why is it that I'm not going up to all the patients that I'm working with and speaking healing over their lives? Fear of man, unbelief. Why is it that I'm not praying as often as I perhaps should be for to see God's healing released in my life? Why am I not really getting hold of it in prayer? Unbelief. I don't feel condemned about that. I'm starting to notice mountains that need shifting. That's all. God's just training us to do this warfare. And, you know, moving a mountain, if you go up to your mountain, can I have a picture? Say one, can I have a picture? I don't know, the one with the mount two. If I go up to my mountain and I try and move it myself, it's completely futile. But if God's given us a tool to speak to the mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and it must obey, then I'm not actually doing very much. I'm saying six words with some faith, and the mountain of unbelief has to move. So let's quickly. So move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The next one, Matthew 21:21. This is one I like. Go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So in prayer, I'm starting to speak to my mountain of unbelief, and then I'm asking for things. Because I'm then going to receive things I ask for. Next one. Where are we? Mark 11. No. Yep. Yeah. Where are we? Mark 11. 22:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So there's just this amazing promise of fullness and everything being possible and everything being given and every prayer being answered. But I'm going to deal with these mountains in my own life. That's it. That's the message the Lord's given me. What would be good is just for 5 minutes, just get with one other person. And it might be in your life that, you know, there's already something in your kind of focus that, you know, you've perhaps been believing God for, or you perhaps know a promise from the past that you've really let slip. Just pray for that. Pray about that again and say, mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and then ask God for it. That's it. Now, you don't need to pray long prayers. Don't pray in tongues. Just pray simply. Say, for example, if I want to see a healing anointing in my life, so I'll be saying, Lord, I pray for a healing anointing in my life. Mountain, go throw yourself in the sea. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I pray for a healing anointing in my life. That's it. So don't pray tongues. And that literally took 2 minutes. So, this is a challenge for you. I'll give you 4 minutes. That's 2 minutes each, because that wasn't even 2 minutes. I'm giving you overtime. Get with one other person, and literally, the one thing that's come to your mind that you want to see, pray for it, say, mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, pray for it and thank God again. Stop. No tongues, no, oh, Jesus. No. Just pray, speak to the mountain, pray again, thank God, and that's it. Okay? So just do that. You've got 4 minutes and then I'll stop you. Okay. That's it. Time's up. Let's just stand for a few minutes. And listen. Listen. Seriously, this is a tool. This is a weapon you've got in your arsenal. It's a tool. And I would suggest that you do something with it. Go over these scriptures. I can give you the references if you want them afterwards. Excuse me for my irreverence standing on a chair. Go through these scriptures and do something with it, because God wants to give us tools. He wants to give us strategies. This is a really easy strategy. It's a real easy tool. And as we learn to use a tool, we can overuse it. Use it all the time. And then it will come to perhaps a month or a few months' time when you'll stop using it, but you've then got it. So then perhaps in 6 months, you know, I mean, I think I'll be using it more than 6 monthly. I think it's a daily prayer. But you overuse it, become familiar with it, and then you've got it. And then the Holy Spirit will remind you when to use it again. So we're just going to pray all together just for 2 minutes. Just ask God about this. Say, God, help me to learn to use this tool. Put this in me. Just, what I've spoken, take it to yourself. And just ask God to come and teach you. Just for 2 minutes, we'll pray. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, I want to deal with unbelief in my own life. Lord, I don't want unbelief. I want to be a woman of faith. And I pray, God, that you train me to use this weapon. Train me to remove mountains. It's so simple. God, show me. I pray, Lord God, that you remind me, remind us, show us what our unbelief is. Lord, I pray that we would go through a season where you're showing us this unbelief so that we can deal with it and get rid of it. Lord, thank you that you've got great promises for us. Lord, I want to walk on a straight path, and I want to walk in every promise you've spoken to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Ruth. That was really good, really helpful. You know, if we really believed, there'd be nothing that is impossible for us. And the only thing that stands in the way of our seeing the promises of God is unbelief. And if we command unbelief to keep getting into the ocean, it's going to stay there eventually and to get out of our life altogether. There is nothing that you cannot do that God has promised you. There's not one promise in that Bible that is not yours. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you if you believe. And so in Jesus' name, we speak to unbelief this morning. And I just thank you so much, Father. And I ask that this truth will begin to take root in our hearts as a people, that we will not in any way bow to the idol of unbelief. We will not make unbelief God. We will declare Jesus is Lord of our lives. And we will submit our lives to Jesus. And what Jesus says, we will believe. And we will live in the fullness of all that he promises. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for your promises. Hallelujah. Amen.